Thanks, Jaime and Debbie. And, you know, I am really, really thankful for all the people who lead us in worship on Sunday mornings. Really thankful. And whether they are playing an instrument up front or singing, those who've prepared to lead along the way, I'm thankful for the people. I'm not just saying this. I'm really thankful for the people who operate these cameras, the sound, that media booth that's back there. I was Pastor Dennis is out of town this weekend, and Urias is here every Sunday helping in that booth, but he had it all today, and I'm so thankful. I almost wanted to give him a kiss when I saw him come in today. But I don't know that would be a blessing. So I'm really, my heart is overflowing with thanksgiving. We asked the grandchildren last night at dinner, and we weren't able to be at last night's Thanksgiving dinner. Heard it was really, it was a great time, and it was well attended, and I'm thankful for our relationship. These two congregations that make one church, and we're delighted to be. I'm so thankful for that relationship. I was thinking yesterday morning, as we were meeting for prayer on Saturday and regularly, and one of the people there just shared the journey in words that are sometimes tough to hear, really tough, because as this person shared about personal struggles, really serious personal struggles, it was an important time, and I'm thankful for that willingness, that person's relationship to God, that he would share that with the rest of us. I'd like you to take your bulletin out, would you please? We call it a bulletin, it's your notes. And if you'll just open that up and turn it upside down, please. Marilyn said to me today, my wife said, don't call attention to that. But, you know, I really wanted us to read this out loud together. So what could I do? Dan suggested to me that I put the bulletins in the box back there where you got them. Just put them in upside down. So. Hey, you know, we're human beings, and so we do these things. I want us to read this together. And since we're reading God's word like they did in the days of Nehemiah, they stood and listened to God's word. But would you stand with me, please, right where you are, and I hope you've got your notes. We're going to read. This is from Galatians chapter 5, verse 25, through chapter 6, verse 5. Let's just do our best to just read together. Would you read with me? Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in touch with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something, then when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to someone else. For each one should carry his own load. Lord, bless this reading to our mind and heart's instructions. And may you be honored as we consider these things today. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. There's another thing that I would say this week I'm exceedingly thankful for. And I'm thankful that my faith, it does not rest in my imaginations. It does not rest in my good intentions, which can often be so suspect. I'm glad that my faith doesn't rest on various voices that just come into our lives, but it rests on the Word of God. And isn't it, it's such a thing to be thankful for, that God uses such ordinary language. Such just really ordinary language. We were using ordinary language today with words. Just think of those words from Psalm 23 that we sang once again. God is my shepherd. I won't be wanting. It's like all of these words that are translated from Hebrew to Greek and into our language, the language of our hearts in our daily lives. The text that we just read this morning, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step. This is the New Living Translation. Let us keep in step with the Spirit. Excuse me, this is the NIV. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Think about all the walking you do. I want you please to think about all the walking you do. And if today you suddenly, your legs couldn't hold up your weight, that happened. It's happened to young and old. It has. What if your feet couldn't handle your walking? Or your back couldn't handle your walking? What if your lungs couldn't handle it? I mean, just think of all day long, all the walking you do. I mean, even such profound walking like getting up and walking to the bathroom or walking to that place where you find food. But let's go beyond the ordinary. What are some of the favorite places you like to, you really are glad your feet will take you? Maybe some of your adventurous walks where it was like a walk of discovery. It was a walk with sights and sounds. What do you listen to when you walk? I resisted this for a long time. I really resisted it. To put anything in my ears so I could listen to a podcast or I could listen to music. But think of all the things you listen to. You listen to the sound and you rely as you're walking. Rely on the sound of cars coming up behind you, maybe, or somebody else. The sights that you see when you see people. Sometimes a face that you haven't seen in a long, long time. Think of some of those walks that have been adventurous walks. Adventuresome. You're just, wow, I'm seeing this. Think of those walks of discovery. I wonder how many times you and I have been out for a walk, maybe in our neighborhood, and we thought, now when did they put up that fence? I was just thinking that this past week. When did they put up that fence? I thought it was something really new. And then I saw, as I got closer to it, I went, oh, it looks like it needs to have a paint job. So I think it's been up for a while. Think of all the things that go on in your mind and heart when you're walking. And God uses such a simple act to draw us in and help us understand His will for our lives through such a simple word, walk. And we've been talking about this word for a number of weeks. I'm asking you this, where are your feet taking you on this walk? Chapter 5 of Galatians, verse 16. I say to you, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Many of our translations capture that word, walk in the Spirit, and you'll not carry out the desires of the sinful nature. I asked you the question, I was walking in my mind here. And sometimes our walking is through the pages of something, scripture. Sometimes the walk is through a magazine, and sometimes it's just scripture that was impressed upon our minds and hearts. Live by the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. And that walk will take you to places where you should be. That walk will take you to some adventures that has somehow or other slipped by you. You just, oh yeah, I get it. That walk will prompt you to see people and hear things that just might impact your life deeply. I was walking and listening to another preacher this morning who was talking about this same passage. And I just kind of stumbled on this message and listened to it again for a second time. Our walks can and should take us quite regularly to places that will make all the difference in our lives. This translation in verse 25 says, he talks about walking or keeping in step with the Spirit. So as we go through life, keep in step with the Spirit. I can remember walking, you know, what does that mean? I mean, how do you understand that? Keep in step. Well, maybe initially you see all sorts of images come to mind. Maybe a bunch of people in the military walking, and every step is in place. We watch people marching in front of the tomb of the unknown soldier, and they walk 21 steps in one direction and turn and face out to the cemetery and then turn another 90 degrees and walk 21 steps to the other end of that path. These walks take us places that are really, really meaningful. I've walked with people in this congregation, and I'm wondering, why are you walking so fast? I can hardly keep up with you, Sandy. It was on a choir outing up at Big Bear, and I thought I was a fast walker. And wow, I can recall walking with people that I thought were walking so slowly, but it was his or her pace, and it was. I thought we were going to fall backwards. But it was really important. And when you walk in the Spirit, you're walking sometimes quickly, meditatively, but quickly, and other times slowly. And when we walk in the Spirit, we do like many of us are learning to do. We make sure that we're watching where we're going. We had a neighbor fall in our driveway the other day. A driveway that needs to be redone. Let's hurry that job up. So this simple expression, and I'm just I'm taking time with intention to ask you to seriously consider, what does it mean as you are walking, taking these walks daily with God through life? Sometimes I'm very uneven ground. Sometimes it just seems, it's a breeze, it seems like. It seems so normal and natural. And other times the road is tough. So let's take a walk in the Spirit. Let's take a walk so that the places and the pursuits that we are involved in is not vainglory. Look at verse 26. Paul writes this. If you look at many different translations, it's such a value to brings color to this and helps us understand this. Lots of different versions, but let us not become conceited on this walk through life. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying one another. The King James Version it reads this way: let us not become desirous of vainglory. When we see this expression in the NIV, let us not become conceited. What is the word conceited? What's he talking about there? Who, me? Conceited? I get to stand up and I can. People, at least, they're looking this direction while I'm talking. This is who I am. I talk and people listen. Probably in spurts, but they listen. He's not talking about being puffed up with a sense of self-importance. I'm really hot stuff, and it's really good that it's good for these people that they listen to me. But see, these words are for you too. Don't become conceited when you're talking to a neighbor about vaccine or no vaccine, mask or no mask, gatherings for Thanksgiving or no gatherings for Thanksgiving, whatever your position is, don't become conceited. Come on. No, well, is that what he's talking about? Conceited? Is he talking about boasting? Again, I'm hot stuff. I'm so much smarter than my neighbor. I'm so much more coordinated than those. Let me tell you, I've got reason to talk about my days playing football. My days of singing in the Southwest High School choir. My days of, and on and on. But that's boasting, but that's not really, doesn't really capture the idea of what this word is. This word is a combination of two words. And put together, it's kenodoxa, kenodoxa. Keno means empty. And doxa means glory. So the Apostle Paul, when he uses this, and that's why I mentioned the King James Version, let us not become desirous of vain glory. You know, this is the same kind of vanity, all is vanity, from the book of Ecclesiastes. It's like a big zero. Don't be desirous of zero glory. Well, what's that? Vain glory. It means like you wasted your time trying to have people think you're hot stuff. You wasted your time looking for people to put the stamp of approval on you. I mean, you served in the homeless shelter. You served free Thanksgiving meals at the shelter. And who did you do that for? Well, that made me feel good about me. It was kind of like, you know, rather than sit down to just stuff my own face, I I stuffed other people's faces. I really feel good about that. See, vainglory is where you're just, we look for approval in all the wrong directions. By vanity, these things, and Solomon says this in the book of Ecclesiastes, these things you grab after them and they're gone. It's like grabbing after a bubble and it's gone. Why do you do what you do? He's going to talk about doing some things that are really good. But don't be doing this in a sense of looking for the approval of the people around you. The approval of your family, the approval of your neighbors, your friends, the people at church. Don't do it for the approval. Don't be conceited. Don't be desirous of vainglory. Empty glory. Okay? Are we with it on that? But see, now, understand, Paul is talking here in the context of this letter when he's talking about the law. And he said, there are a lot of people around you. And after I left town, and you embraced the gospel, you embraced the cross of Christ, which was for you, and it would change your present and your future forever. So you came to Christ, but after I was gone, he says, why have you become so foolish after I've gone? Having begun in the spirit, are you now made right in the flesh? Are you now suddenly just once again working to get God's approval and say, now that's what I'm talking about, that kind of good. That's the kind of people I welcome into my heaven. Those kind of good people. Those are the people that I welcome in. No, the people I welcome in are the people who found their glory in the cross. That's not vain glory. That's why Paul would say, verse 14 of chapter of this chapter, Galatians, verse 14. May I never boast. Once again, he's talking about glory. May I never boast or glory except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. So often we sense our own inadequacies, and we desire vainglory. Young athletes who are followers of Christ, they can in a moment, it just seems like, suddenly want to exchange who they are in Christ for the approval and admiration of family, friends, the media, and it's vain, empty glory. Let us not become conceited, provoking each other. I love this expression. Another way you could say this word provoking would be calling each other out. Yeah, let's see you do that. Let's see you. It could be as an athlete. It could be as someone who serves in the shelter. See? Well, you know, what'd you do for Thanksgiving? Well, before we gorged ourselves, we went to the shelter and took care of people who have less than we do. On Thanksgiving, maybe we just sat down and before we did anything else, we wrote thank you notes to people because that thank you notes would be a great thing. If it comes as a result of walking or keeping in step with the Spirit of God, who says, by the Spirit to you, living a life yielded to Him, I want to keep in touch, Lord, with what your desire is for my life today. So lead me, guide me, Give me understanding. And I'm not going to just sit still. Who should I reach out to today, Lord? Who needs to hear from me? Thank you. Chapter 6, verse 1. Brothers, if someone in your spiritual community, in your church, or maybe in your neighborhood, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him. Caught in a sin, caught in a trespass. What comes to mind when you read those words? What does it mean to be caught in a sin? Busted! I caught you. Caught you. See? You can't get away from that. No. Why? Not with me. The night has 1,000 eyes, and I'm one of the people watching. We caught you. And in catching you, it just validates me so much more because I'm doing so much better than that. But that's not the word that Paul uses here. Not the expression at all. He's talking about like someone who's caught in a trap. They're just, this is over this long haul. It seems like they just can't. This sin has them in a grip. They're caught like that. It could be something of their own choosing. They developed a habit a long time ago, and they just this has become an emotional habit. It becomes a physical habit. It becomes it goes way beyond just a compulsive behavior disorder. It's got that. The chemicals that you've been used to putting in your body have now taken over, and you can't seem to shake them. But not only is that the case, but it also has become an emotional trap. And you don't seem to be able to live without that thing. Okay, that's one such trap that you can be caught in. And you who are spiritual, what's that word mean? Spiritual is simply, we've already been talking about it, you who are keeping in step with the Spirit, listening to the Spirit throughout the day. Why do we memorize Scripture? Why do we sing the songs that we sing? Why do we exhort each other and encourage each other and share what's going on, in hopes that even as I talk about this, I understand what I'm saying all the more as I try to explain this to family and friends. You who are spiritual, people are just people walking in the Spirit, people keeping in step with the Spirit. But let's take this a little bit further. How about if this person that you are, that's caught in this sin, it's a sin that just, I mean, it doesn't seem like one of those habitual sins. This is a sin of kind of getting stuck emotionally. Well, no one would choose panic attacks, would they? Would anybody choose a panic attack? If you've ever had one, let me tell you, you'd never choose one again. Never again. How about depression? But sometimes we're stuck. And it feels like a whirlpool sucking you down. How about anxiety and depression? Back to back. Those things that you deal with all the time. Doesn't make any difference whether you are young or old. At all. Makes no difference. Doesn't make any difference whether you served in Afghanistan or the streets of Los Angeles or your neighborhood. Anxiety and depression. And you are caught in this trap. And Paul says to those of you who are spiritual, those of you who are spiritual should restore that person. Now, again, what images come to our mind? Does that mean like, well, I'll go to the rescue mission today. The rescue mission is my friend. The rescue mission is this family member, this person in my neighborhood. This rescue mission might be for my child or my spouse. Once again, here I go. Okay, Lord, but you are spiritual. As you walk in the Spirit, God is equipping you to come alongside of them. And he says, right, as Paul, here in his word, as you walk in the Spirit, you understand that this is for you. And you need to stick it out with this person whose sin or whose emotion is just really depressing you, discouraging you, draining you of your resources. You are spiritual. Let's read on. Carry each other's burdens. He's just moving right on here. You are spiritual. This is for you. Carry each other's burden. And in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. The word burden right here is very much in keeping with this idea of being caught. Think of the friends that took their friend on a mat. And they took him to Jesus. And there were, as Jeff talked about this last week, Jeff Barnison, they carried him on that mat. And they took him to Jesus, and they took him up, and they up on a roof where Jesus was in the house that was packed and they couldn't get in, and so they took the roof off. Now I appreciated so much the way Jeff unpacked that for us last week, but carry each other's burdens. And when you do this, you're fulfilling the law of Christ. How do I know what I'm supposed to do? What do you think? What are you supposed to do to know what to do? If we're keeping in step with the Spirit, we'll know. If we keep in step with the Spirit, we'll also know that if this takes days or weeks or months or years, carry this heavy load. And the word that Paul uses in verse 3 is, this is a heavy load. Too much for this person to bear alone. Well, they should just get over it. They should just put the bottle down. They should just put the needle down. Whatever their stupid habit is, they should just give it up. As you walk in the Spirit, you take a walk in the Spirit day after day after day. Oh, it's still a burden, but we're in the place that God fully intends us to be. I have a couple friends that are kind of, they've got such disciplined lives, time-wise, study-wise. They are so disciplined. And one of these friends, he's just such a close, close friend. Another one of my friends says of him, yeah, our buddy, he's not a teddy bear by any stretch of the imagination. He doesn't just share love you, love you, love you so easily. He doesn't. But he loves Jesus, and he serves Jesus, and he walks with Jesus, and he says, Jesus loved people. Jesus loves people. You're a people. Okay, I love you. It's kind of like that. Walk in the Spirit. Bear each other's burdens, those heavy loads, for those people that are trapped. They are entrapped. They're caught in a sin. Carry each other's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Galatians is a book about law. It's a letter about law. This law is the law we can live with only as we walk in the Spirit. We keep in step with the Spirit. When he's walking fast, when he's walking slow, when he's walking on rough terrain, it's the only way we can do this. Are you thinking of some people in your life that maybe, just maybe, God has brought into your life along the way, and maybe that person has been in your life for a long, long time? And God has us there walking alongside of him to carry this load. If you think you're somebody when you have these opportunities, when in fact you're nothing, you deceive yourself. Don't think you can do this. In other words, don't think you can do this on your own. You're not hot stuff on your own. The only, like the evangelist I heard say to the guy who was his lead singer, he said, "Jimmy, the only good thing about you is Jesus." Oh, it sounds so trite. But it's really true. Jesus changes everything. Do you boast in him? Or just in the, you know, that you make every shot? Boop, boop, boop. You're just draining him left and right. Each one should test his own actions. And then, when you test your own actions, just test your own. Go ahead. Take the test. It's a self-test with God present. Test your own actions. Don't compare yourself with anybody else. John, don't compare yourself with that pastor or that pastor, with that father or this father. God has given you a unique, and he's given all of us a unique opportunities and responsibilities. I'm not the neighbor of your neighbor, am I? I'm not. So I'm not in your family, apart from the spiritual family. Each one should carry his own actions, should test his own actions, that he can take pride in himself. Pride is here, it's a good thing, without comparing himself to anybody else. For each one should carry his own load. This is kind of, I'm understanding this a little more, I think, all the time. Each one's to carry his own load. You are not called to carry my load. Not the responsibilities that he's given me. Not the opportunities he's given me. In each one should carry his, those are the things that God has given me to do. You don't have my family. For good or bad, you don't have my family. And I don't have yours. Each one should carry his own load. That's what Paul is referring to in verse 5. That's now your responsibility. How's your walk going? How's your walk? Hey, listen, don't just say fine. Keep testing yourself. Am I walking with the Spirit? Am I keeping in stride with the Spirit? Am I listening to him? Sometimes I love taking walks with people, and sometimes I really like walking alone. That's why I walk in the dark. But, you know, enjoy the walk as you walk and keep in stride with the Spirit. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you don't leave me alone to figure things out on my own. I thank you that not only do I have your word, but I have the Holy Spirit who's in me and in us as followers of Christ. And I can just keep paying attention to you on this, on my walk through life. However far you give me, whatever neighborhood you put me in, may you find me keeping in step with the Spirit. And wherever I'm really dropping the ball, may you just remind me once again, afresh, that I need to follow your pace. I pray, Father, that each one here today will take this and personalize it and consider the way we're walking. Would you stand with me, please? These words make so much sense, don't they, as I conclude. And now, to him who's able to keep you from stumbling or falling and present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Savior be glory and majesty, power and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forever. Amen.